Please stand as you are able for the reading of the scriptures. Malachi 3, 1 through 4. Look, I am sending my messenger who will clear the path before me. Suddenly, the Lord whom you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you take delight is coming, says the Lord of heavenly forces. Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can withstand his appearance? He is like the refiner's fire or the cleaner's soap. He will set as a refiner and a purifier as silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. They will belong to the Lord, presenting a righteous offering. The offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in ancient days and former years.
Luke 3, 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the rule of the emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea and Herod was ruler over Galilee, his brother Philip was ruler over Iturea, Trachonitis, and Licinius was ruler over Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, God's word came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. John went throughout the region of the Jordan River, calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. This is just as it is written in the scroll of the words of Isaiah the prophet. A voice crying out of the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley will be filled, every mountain and hill will be leveled, and the crooked will be made straight, and rough places made smooth. All humanity will see God's salvation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Kathy and Larry. I say we give God the glory for both of them, and this is their time of sharing scripture. And my brother Larry got all the hard words. Hey, 20 days till Christmas. Woohoo! I'm sensing a little excitement out there, a little anticipation for the big event that's going to come. We're all listening to our Christmas albums. We're all listening to TV specials and Christmas movies. And as Sevea said, there are concerts that we're going to. And we're doing all those things. We're really excited to celebrate the birthday of Jesus. We're really excited about coming home to be with the people that we love. I sense some excitement, but I also sense some trepidation, because getting ready for this holiday isn't always easy, is it? Worried about getting all the work done before year end, worried about trying to get all the schoolwork done before your midterm finals or whatever, trying to get the house ready for people, cleaning toilets. All those different things that you're getting ready for. So there's stress and anxiety. But there's also a sense that home is a place that seems like you can never come back to. For some of us, we don't look forward to going home. We've experienced pain there. We've experienced judgment there. We've experienced division. And so there is a fear of going home. This time of Advent, this pre-Christmas time of Advent, in this church we are all about preparing ourselves to go home. We have a bigger picture of what home is. It's not just our physical home, but it's also coming home to be with our God. It is the kingdom of God, or to express it in a more relational sense, the kingdom of God. And as much as we know that kingdom of God is filled with love and grace and acceptance, and as much as our hearts really want to be there, there is a part of us that fears even going to that home of the kingdom of God. And why? Well, actually, Isaac expressed that very well. It's because our souls get cleaned, get redeemed. Transformation happens. And let's be honest with one another here. We're not necessarily open to being transformed all the time, are we? We're doing just fine, thank you very much. We're okay being the very same right now, and we want to stay the same a year from now. Sometimes our leadership says that should be a goal, that we should change and say that we can note that change over the year, but very often we don't want that change, and we fear going to that home where that change is. Today, friends, before next week when we're going to talk about the joy of home, we are going to be talking about our fear of going home. And our scriptures have a lot to say about that. So today we're introduced to John as he comes into his ministry. But you know, John was introduced very, very early in the Gospel of Luke in a big way. If you read the very first chapter of Luke, you have that beautiful story of Mary's call to be the mother of Jesus from the angel Gabriel. You all know that story. If you don't know it, it's on your Christmas cards. It's a wonderful story of call, and Mary says yes. And then we have this wonderful story where Mary makes a visit with her cousin Elizabeth. But I got to tell you, most of chapter 1 is about Jesus' cousin John. It's about his birth. Jesus doesn't get born until chapter 2. But John is born in chapter 1, and we get this wonderful backstory of Papa Zechariah and Mama Elizabeth. And we learn all about John and the mission to which he was born. And he was born with a holy mission, church. And we heard that mission statement today. Prepare the way for the Lord. Say that with me. Prepare the way for the Lord. That's a powerful statement. Do you know why? Because in his day, there were a lot of lords about. Luke shares that with us as well, right? The 15th year of the emperor of Rome, Tiberius, the time of the Judean governorship of Pontius Pilate, Herod, and Licinius, Philip, all ruling their triumphant places. Notice I'm not going to pronounce those names right now. But Annas and Caiaphas, high priests in Jerusalem, all of these men, all these holding places of power in both political and religious spheres, they had the power. They had a way of influencing lives. There were a lot of lords in those days. So did God choose any of them to be the bearer of the news of that the Lord was coming, preparing the way for the Lord? No. No. The Lord chose John, the son of Zechariah, to bear that good news, to prepare the way for the Lord. And John did just that. I love the way that one writer put it that I read this week. He said, you know, it's like there was a smorgasbord of leaders that the Lord was presented with. Could have chose anyone, but when God went into the voting booth of reconciliation, he put in a write-in candidate. And that was John. And it was John who became that one. A nobody in the middle of nowhere became the bearer of the news. And that is to prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. There's work to be done, amen? There's going to be valleys that are going to be raised up. There's going to be mountains that are going to be leveled. All the potholes are going to be filled. Every place is going to be made straight for the coming of the Lord. This isn't just John's call that he is called to. He is calling the people then. He's calling all of us now to be all a part of that ministry, especially in this time of Advent. We should all be about preparing the way for the Lord. And that means that we look in our hearts and say, how are we preparing the way for the Lord? How are we open to preparing the way for the Lord? In a sense, we could say that we are preparing people to come home. Now, next week, we're going to dig into John's message even more. And it's a doozy. But today, just in announcing preparing the way for the Lord, we face a challenge. You see, John went to the people and he challenged them. He said, you need to turn your lives around. He used that R word, right? You know that R word? Repent. That's such a churchified word, but it's a real word, friends. And it simply means to turn your life around. Turn it away from your fear. Turn it away from your anger. Turn it away from your hatred. Turn it away from your own self-interest, your own inward focus, and instead focus out in love and embrace the God who loves you. And be baptized by water as a sign of that repentance. That was John's ministry. That's the way that he prepared the Lord. But the people then and the people now fear that transformation, that call as well. We may have faced that fear before, right? That fear of coming home to being with Jesus. We may say that we don't, but let's think about it. As we're getting ready, don't we feel a little trepidation? I mean, it's hard enough to go over the river and through the woods to Grandmama's house, right? But what if Jesus comes into our heart and we transform and people label us a Jesus freak? We have that fear of transformation. If it were not so, if we really didn't fear transformation, friends, this world would be in a much better place right now than it is. We have evidence of our fear. Maybe it's because we're feeling that stress. Malachi talks about how difficult it is in facing God and in facing transformation, right? These prophets can be downright scary. No, he says, I'm sending my messenger who will clear the path before me. And suddenly the Lord who you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger the comfort will take with whom you delight will is coming, says the Lord of heavenly forces. Who can endure? Who can endure the day of his coming? Who can withstand his appearance? He is like the refiner's fire and the cleaner's soap. He will set as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. That's intimidating, isn't it? It brought to mind a random memory to me and in my meditations. It's like, gosh, where have I fallen far short of expectations of someone? Where have I fallen far short of expectations for me? And a random memory came to me from college days. Just to let you know, I am one of those non-traditional college students. I was a married, working 40-hour a week, expecting kids kind of guy. I went with a degree that was supposed to take 4 years. It took me 6, but I got through. It was a degree in computer science with a minor in mathematics. The memory that I want to share with you happened when I took a Calculus 2 class. That means you had to take a Calculus 1 to get there. And in hindsight, probably shouldn't have taken a class like that when we're expecting babies, you know? And we were expecting twins. But I just ill-advisedly decided to take that class. And, you know, I started out good, worked hard, and I was making a solid B, and I was quite happy. those first two tests, B. And then the third test came in early April. And what happened with my wife and I in early April? Babies, a month early. I cared not for school and all things like that. That seems silly and superfluous. So I remember taking a calculus test, and I remembered after I turned it in that I hope I get that test back and I can bury it in my backyard. For I knew that I would have done bad because I just didn't study for it. Well, my teacher had a different idea. And as I went to class and he was passing out those tests to people, he always liked to make little comments. For me, what he did is he stood in front of the class, he took my test, and he wadded it up. And he threw it back at me. And he said, "You could do better." And I wanted to say, "I caught it." So I was disappointed. I was disappointed in my teacher. Because it's like publicly shaming somebody when they're having babies. What's your deal, Mobile? But I was really disappointed in myself because I did know better. I should have done better. Sometimes we feel that way when we think about what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. We feel like we've got to do for God like my calculus teacher. We've got to perform. We've got to do these things. And we don't realize that God offers us love and grace from the get-go. But something happens when we embrace the Lord our God through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Something happens to us when we enter into the home of the kingdom, and that is that we begin to change. You see, Jesus loves us where we are, but loves us so much that will not leave us where we are. You've heard that before. It's a cliche, but I like that cliche a great deal. Our Lord loves us. But we fear that. And part of preparing for home church is that we need to prepare our hearts and how we might be able to be open to being a part of the kingdom that our God invites us to constantly. So I have two challenges for us today. The first one is simply when you go to God in prayer in the morning or in the evening or in the afternoon or wherever you pray to God, and you should pray, but when you go to God in prayer, then ask God for an open heart. An open heart to being a part of going home to the kingdom. An open heart to receiving Jesus more and more into your heart. An open and a hospitable heart so that you can share that Jesus love with others, right? Because if you know you're struggling, you know everybody else is struggling. Look around this room here, friends. Folks at home, look around your home. And know that we all struggle. There's always at least a piece of us, even though we're excited, even though we have hope, that we're fearful. But in prayer, we can ask God to take away that fear, like we did earlier when asking for peace. And God can fill us with hope and peace so that we can let go of fear. So that's the first challenge, to pray. Keep praying. This is a time of spiritual discipline. It's not a time to just do nothing. It's a time to. Jesus loves you. You are saved through Jesus Christ. Whatever you do or don't do, you're loved by Jesus, right? But this opens you up more and more to love and to transformation if you just go to Jesus in prayer. The other thing I would ask is to be invitational. You know, we have some special worship services coming up. Actually, you know, I encourage you to invite friends to all of our worship services. But on the 19th, we're going to have a cantata here. We're going to have an extended musical here with our choir. And I'm really excited about that. You should be excited about that too. And you should invite your friends and family to come to that cantata. It'll be the 19th, 2 weeks from today. We also are going to be having not one, but two Christmas Eve services. We're going to have a Christmas Eve service on the 22nd. We call that our traveler service. Simply because it's for those that are going out of town of Harrisonville, if they want to come here and celebrate. or to worship online. And we offer another service on Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock. So I want to invite you to those services, but I want you to invite you to invite people to those services too. It's not like we will host those services and people will come. It requires invitation. And here's something about inviting people to worship or really to anything. You don't just say, hey, come to church, and then when they show up here, you go, hey, how's it going, and then walk off. No. You show them around. You introduce them to other people. You take them out to eat afterwards. You make them feel at home. Because it's scary to go to a new church, isn't it? For some churches, weird. I have family that will come and to worship, and then we'll have a communion Sunday, and when communion starts, they take off because communion's just too weird. Those customs that we think everybody does, I'm going to shock you here. Not everybody worships the same way as we do here. I mean, you can go across the street, it's going to be different. Next door, it's going to be different. But not every United Methodist Church worships the same. They are all different. You need to know that. Some of you do. You visit other churches and you know that. You visit other United Methodist churches. You know what it means to feel like a stranger. You know what it feels like to not be at home in a place of worship. So my challenge to all of you is to be invitational and to make this place a home. A place where people can feel love. A place where people can experience the kingdom. Two challenges, pretty simple, right? There we go. Okay. Yeah. Well, friends, this is the call that we have. This is part of our way of preparing the way for the Lord. Lord's already here, amen? And the Lord will come more fully in the future. We believe that. We preach that. We teach that. We are living in the in-between time. The kingdom of God exists now, but will be more fully known when Christ comes again. But in this in-between time, then we also are part of the ministry of John the Baptist. And that in our hearts and outwardly, we prepare the way for the Lord. Take up that challenge, take up that call, so that the fear of home will go away, and everyone will want to come home for Christmas. And all God's people said, amen.